You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Teams from Greenpeace in New Zealand are behind a global operation that has exposed shocking incidents of human trafficking, slavery and abuse at sea aboard international fishing fleets. Former police detective Tim McKinnell spent years campaigning on behalf of Tana Porter before turning his attention to trafficking, helping to produce the new report, Misery at Sea, in conjunction with Greenpeace. I spoke with Tim McKinnell this morning and asked him what he managed to uncover.
Well, the report focuses on the Taiwanese longline tuna fishing industry. So we spent the last 2 years or so examining some fairly obvious problems with that particular part of the fishing industry. And so we've travelled fairly extensively. We've got a small team. We've been to ports all over the world. A large part of what we've been doing is speaking to crew, but we've also been speaking to others involved in the fishing industry, including other NGOs, and examining some of the cases that have emerged in the last couple of years. And what we've found is pretty horrific stuff. Most of it's not surprising. We've known about this stuff anecdotally for years, but these cases that have emerged in our report, which is three primary case studies, are pretty horrifying. They're human trafficking, they're murder, they are slavery at sea.
What's the background to the report? Where did all of this actually begin?
In 2016, we published a report based on a couple of years of work looking at both IUU, or illegal, unreported or unregulated fishing, and there was also an element of human rights abuses in that report. What's happened in the 2 years since then is there has been some legislative tinkering in Taiwan in particular, but nowhere near the type of action we need to try and remedy these problems. So we've spent time, as I say, going around various ports, talking to people within the industry. We've also started to examine the supply chains to find out where the seafood is going, and it's pretty clear that the tuna is going to New Zealand, it is going to the US, it is going to Europe. So this misery has been exported all around the world.
And you say it began in sort of around 2016. Was that when you got involved, or was there a particular moment when you became involved in this cause?
Well, shortly after I'd finished work on the Tana Porter case, an opportunity came up to do some contract work for Greenpeace. So I got involved in mid-2015, and we began to work very quickly on the Taiwanese industry then, because it was evident that's where a large proportion of the problems were because of the size. So we've been working on it in one form or another since 2015.
You say that you know, a lot of this tuna is obviously coming to New Zealand and countries in Europe and whatnot. What's your message then to particularly New Zealand consumers?
Well, I think there's two messages for New Zealand consumers. One is, if you're buying tuna and sushi, or you're buying tuna steaks at the supermarket or eating it at the restaurant, ask what species it is. There are some particular species that are endangered, like bluefin, and ask where it comes from. And if the people you're dealing with, the retailers and restaurants, don't know the answer to that question, then you should be worried about the source. The other message we think consumers should have is that they should begin to put some pressure on the government. There was a bill before the House in 2015, introduced by Labor at the time, looking to ban slave-tainted products or imports that were made by slaves. And that was opposed and ultimately lost in the House, so the bill never passed into law. But we think there's an opportunity for that to be reintroduced. It's a valuable piece of legislation and would provide some legislative teeth to NGOs and those that are interested in this country to try and do something in the courts to prevent this sort of thing continuing.
You've just preempted exactly what I wanted to ask, which was about what can be done and what the government can do. Is there anything else, or is what you've just mentioned what you think the government's role in all of this is?
Well, I think the government's role is to help make the supply chains transparent. We've had real difficulties in the last three or so years dealing with customs in particular, and trying to get data and information out of customs about where some of the seafood is coming from and who's importing it. And so there needs to be more transparency so consumers can make informed choices. The government has a role to play in that. And the prohibition of slave-painted products or imports coming into New Zealand is a relatively simple piece of legislation that could be introduced, and we say should be introduced.
How have the international community responded to all this? Because you'd think there'd be quite a lot of outrage.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, what we've looked at over the last few years is both the environmental issues as well as the human rights issues. And where there's one, there is almost always the other. And so different countries and different audiences react differently to one or the other. And so it's mixed depending on what country you're in as to what grabs the attention of both the media and the public. But I think there is a realization over the last two or three years, based on some really excellent work by journalists in particular, that's brought out of the shadows this underbelly of slavery within the fishing industry. And it's fair to say, when people learn of it, that they're outraged. We just need to keep shining light on it.
Sort of as a follow-on to that, I suppose, in the press release it said that there are members of a human trafficking ring who are still openly living in Taiwan. Why is this allowed to go on?
Well, it's a very good question. So there's this compelling case. They were convicted in Cambodia. There was five people convicted in absentia for human trafficking offences. We found a number of them, or all of them, living openly in Taiwan, and we've confirmed that two of them are back involved in plying their trade. They are involved in the recruitment of migrant crew onto Taiwanese fishing vessels. Now, how the Taiwanese authorities think that's okay, I have no idea. It's an outrage.
Yeah, are there any other cases like that? Because it does seem particularly unusual that that's been allowed to continue.
Well, each case is different, but there are a number of cases over and above the cases we talk about in the report. There's a case from 2015 where there was a video emerged of some people being executed in the ocean. You know, five people were shot to death in the ocean from on board a Taiwanese-owned vessel. There has been no accountability for that, and if that video's up until recently have been available on YouTube. It's disturbing watching. And, you know, you've got a country like Taiwan who has a really important role to play in investigating and managing these issues, and they just seem to be hands-off.
Yeah, wow. It's fascinating that something like that is able to carry on. What's next for you in terms of the work that you've been doing with this, or in terms of what's next for trying to fix these issues?
Well, now's the time to open conversations with people we've identified in our report or organisations we've identified in our report and work out whether there's a genuine will to try and make the changes and make the adjustments to the way they do business. It's the underlying business model that needs to change. It enables and encourages this sort of behaviour. So we will see over the coming weeks and months whether there's a genuine desire to make those changes. And if there isn't, I guess we just need to keep trying to expose it.
Cool. Thank you so much. I wish you all the best with all of that. It's really interesting, and I'm glad we had a chance to talk about it.
Thanks, Joe. All the best. Cheers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.